Let's have a word of prayer tonight before we get going. I just thought it was kind of ironic that Pastor was talking about that tonight, and I was dealing with this afternoon. And the reason why I brought this up, a good friend of mine, Logan Moore, he sent this to me, and he's scared right now to have maybe facing this possibility. And I like what he said to me. He goes, if this is going to happen, he goes, I'm going to fight. And he goes, I don't want to let it happen to my town. And I responded, I will fight with you. Then I gave a strong arm emoji. So I know we're not supposed to do that, Matt Brennan, because it takes away our man card and we do emojis. So, but anyway, it's a strong one. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we know that our liberties are at stake here, but God, we serve you. And we know that you watch out for us. You take care of us. And we are so grateful for that. God, in these trying times, it's no different as many men and women who have gone through these difficult times in their lives before us. God, they stayed true to you. Some did not stay true to you. But God, I believe this is a time for us as a church, as a nation, to rise up and to stand united with each other, to stand united with you. Even though, Lord, we might not be popular, that's what it's not about. But God, through this, we pray that we can be a voice of reasoning to give peace to folks. And the only way we can give peace to folks is by telling them of who you are, what you can do for them, how you can save their soul from hell to heaven, and how you can watch over them, take care, and protect them. God, tonight we pray that you would continue to be with our pastors throughout our nation. God, I know that they are struggling. I know it's been very difficult for them these last few months. I know the discouragement that has come along their way. Lord, these are things that many of us folks don't hear about and think about. But Lord, they face them just like any of us face our things in our lives. We pray that you'd continue to give Pastor wisdom. We pray that you give him strength throughout each and every single day. And God, I pray that you would remain first in all of our lives. Bless us as we open up your word tonight. And we ask it in your name. Amen. So as we go through the book of Acts tonight, I'm only going to go through a portion of it. And we're going to go to verse number 30. And then we're going to back up and explain the first part of this, if I could, the best that I know how. And we're going to catch up with Paul and Barnabas. Again, they're on their missionary journey, and some things have come to a halt, to say. They're going to be facing some problems that's arising in their missionary work at this point in time. And what is going to happen is an old Jewish law is going to come into play with the Gentiles, the ones specifically who have accepted Christ as their Savior. Before I go on any further, we got to understand something. You and I are Gentiles. We're not Jews. And we're not bound to the law because Christ came and he abolished the law. And there have been folks along the way that would try to bully their way into the lives of the Gentiles and say, hey, what you've done is not true unless you do this. Well, what was that? Saying their salvation wasn't real. And so there's some contention that takes place amongst the believers at this point in time. And the last part, as we read here, you're going to see some contentions take place with Barnabas and Paul, who have been really a great duo for the Lord during this time, a ministry that has been successful, one that up until this time, you can probably imagine that they have been the best of friends, having a desire to be around each other. But unfortunately, just like in our lives, it happens in their lives too, where they don't always see eye to eye, and that's okay. I grew up in a household of five siblings, And out of those five siblings, not a single one of us have seen eye to eye at times. And as we have gotten older, we still don't see eye to eye. There's probably some things that my sister disagrees with me. And there's some things that I will disagree with her, vice versa, Jeff as well. But the one thing that we have come to a conclusion in our lives is not to dwell on those negative things, because we can dwell on the negatives, right? We can dwell on those things all day long. But the negative things hold us in bondage. And takes away from our relationship with one another. And so, as we have gotten older in life, we have had to just learn how to get along just a little bit better. There are some things that I can say that would really agitate my sister. She said something to me yesterday that really agitated me, and she has no idea. She came out and she said, "Chad, you have really gray hair." I didn't hear that part because I knew what she was saying, so I just wanted to make fun of it. I said, "I have really great hair?" It's just a silly illustration. But we learn how to get along despite our disagreements and things. By the way, she's got gray hair too. You just can't see it. It's colored. That was your grandson that said that, Christy. Amen, Zane, for listening. Out of the mouth of babes. But we learn in life to look beyond those things that can cause those contentions for us to dwell on, because I believe that we have come to a conclusion in our lives. I'm speaking personally for my siblings and I. We have come to a conclusion in our lives. Hey, we're more beneficial together when we get along. And it's not doing us any good when we argue and when we fight. Back in the early days of us growing up, a lot of you folks, you weren't around when Pastor was younger. And you weren't able to see his fire that he had then. But usually when us kids got into an argument, you would know about it from the pulpit because he'd preach about us. And you know how we stop Pastor from preaching about us and our wrongdoings? We learn to get along in life. But even despite our contentions, here's the great thing about siblings. And the same with the church. We love each other. Even though Paul and Barnabas was going to split up at this point in time, Paul did not stop loving Barnabas, and Barnabas did not stop loving Paul. I believe even during their separation, there are things in God's Word that that we don't know about yet, but I can just imagine, knowing Paul and following him in his word, I can just imagine Paul at night before he laid his head down to sleep at night would begin to pray for Barnabas in his missionary journey without him. But they allowed something to come into their lives to where they parted ways. It says in verse number 30, it says, "So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued to Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." By the way, I'm going to stop here real quick. Not only am I thankful for Paul and Barnabas and their missionary journeys that they took way before us, but there are so many men that we don't know about by name who went forth into the world to do the gospel, to preach the gospel that they were preaching as well. And I thank God for those men. They don't have the celebrityism that some of the guys in the Bible do, if that's the correct word to use. That's the only thing that came to my mind. But they remained faithful despite not being as popular as somebody else. They went out and they preached the word. as it says at the last of verse number 35. 36, it says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren." See, they have taken a pause in their missionary journey. And you might ask yourself, why do missionaries take a break? Because they get worn out. There's a lot of work that they have to do while they are gone. By the way, let me say this before I get going on. Pray for the missionaries, if you will, this week. There have been missionaries who have quit their full-time jobs, being on deputation, depending fully upon support to continue to go forth to get the funds that they need to get over to the mission field. And they've not been able to do that the last 2.5 months. And some of these guys have probably been without a paycheck, I would just imagine. So pray for them, that God would begin to open doors for them once again. Pray for this church that we're able to see more missionaries come our way. And we can't support everybody, but we can help them along their way. So they had a break while they're there, and now I can imagine they've been rejuvenated, and their soul's been blessed some, and now they want to get back out to the trail of preaching. By the way, they didn't have the cars that we have right now to get into a car on a hot day and turn on the air conditioner and drive 75, 80 miles per hour and go to the next town. It was done by foot. Some probably have done horses, camels, and possibly donkeys as well. So they were men who got tired because of the fatigue that came their way just in the time that they had to do these things. And as they were in this place right now, it says, "In some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." I got a cough and I don't have COVID. Excuse me. I have a tickle in my throat. Verse number 37, it says, "And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." Look at verse number 39. "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another." Wait a minute. These were men who were called by God to go into the world and begin to preach the gospel to a world that is lost, to turn lives upside down, and look at what happened to them. They struggle just like you and I. It's comforting to know that you can turn into God's word and know these men struggle just like we do. And it says, "Their contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." They had a sharp contention with them. But let's go back to verse number 1 real quick. And let's talk about what has taken place. What led up to this point here? Why they were gathered here? Why were they on this break here? Verse number 1, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Now, does this sound like the gospel that Paul and Barnabas is preaching? No, it's totally contradictory to what they are preaching. And so there is some confusion that might be setting in, and people might be saying, "Hey, wait a minute, we weren't taught this. We were taught that Christ died for our sins, and if we were to repent and ask for forgiveness and ask Christ to dwell within our hearts, we would be saved. And now you're telling me all of a sudden that I have to be circumcised?" And it goes on here. It says, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on the way to the church, they passed through Phinehas in Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose a certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. I am so thankful tonight that I don't have to keep the law for my salvation. That should excite each and every single one of us. Because if you have offended one, you have done what? You have offended them all. And so even before there's some contentions between Paul and Barnabas, here's what we're seeing in the early church right now. Now there are some contentions that's starting up in this church. And this happens to be dealing with circumcision. And there were some false teachings, or you can say a question that was given to the Gentiles. The teaching was they were told they didn't have salvation unless they were circumcised. How would you folks feel tonight if Brother Ziner was to come in here 2 weeks from now and he would address this church and he would say, "Church, you believe that you have salvation through Jesus Christ your Lord, but you're not truly saved unless you follow through the form of circumcision." A lot of you might get up and might come after Brother Ziner because you know that that's not the correct teaching. And so they were told that their salvation needed to be more than what they put their faith in and need to be circumcision. This, however, was first done by Abraham. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 17. The book of Genesis, chapter 17. If I can get there, that would be great. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 14. "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in a house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." Circumcision came about through Abraham with a covenant between God and him. What we must understand, circumcision wasn't done as a form of salvation. This question here, or false teaching you can say, was it done out of spite? Was it done because the man who went through this, now all of a sudden you're seeing Gentiles being saved and say, "Hey, wait a minute. If you want to serve the God that I'm serving, then you must follow in this form." But let me ask you a question. Why would some of the Pharisees cause strife because of their salvation? I will tell you why. Because of the very fact people are being saved, and Satan's going to use anybody and everybody to cause doubt in somebody's life of what they have done. And he's successful at that. Salvation is really a time of celebration. I just celebrated this past April the 25th, and that's my grandmother's birthday, and that's Mary Ann's birthday. And I had a great day that day, and that was the day that I got saved in April 25th of 1986. The only downside of that this year was I wasn't able to go out to eat and celebrate. We always go out and celebrate our birthdays. But salvation is a joyous time. It's a time of celebration, of realizing what God has done for your life, realizing where you've came from and where God is going to take you. When God is at work, here's what we need to be careful of. When God is at work, who's at work behind him? The devil, Satan. He's at work. And he's going to be working hard to cause doubt in the heart of believers. I dealt with a young man years ago. It was my wife's cousin. And I know he was saved, and he was having some doubts. And he knew he was saved, and he said, "Why am I having these doubts?" Satan's trying to mess with them. He's trying to destroy him, to get him from not to go into the ministry that God has called him into and to keep him into the world. When God is at work, Satan's at work as well. Whenever we see God doing great things, be sure that Satan will come along and try to rob you of your joy. Have any of you experienced that lately? He will try to rob you of your joy. If the Gentiles were to circumcise themselves for salvation, then Christ's death was meant for nothing. Satan is always trying to divide the brethren. And here's what's unfortunate about this statement. He is at times very successful. Why is he successful? Because we allow him to be. You know what we need to do to Satan? We just need to do this. Get behind me. Stop messing with me. You no longer have control of my life. Leave me alone and let God be the God of my life. That's what we need to do with him. Some of us need to go home and slam our doors and say, "Satan, you're no longer allowed in my house." We allow Satan to rob us of joy. We allow Satan to cause contention in our lives. We allow Satan to bring divisions into the church. Why am I saying Satan? Because God doesn't cause division. It's Satan. When a church is going very well, be very rest assured that Satan's going to be at work trying to destroy that very work. And he's successful. But in verse number 8, if we didn't read this verse, it says, only God knows the heart of the person, not Satan. Only God knows our heart. But even when problems arise, here's what we need to understand. There is a proper way that you and I need to handle them. There's a proper way that needs to take place. Some of you don't know how to handle me when you and I might have contentions. And I might not know how to handle you when I disagree with you as well. There's one thing that I have learned in life, and that's through the teachings of my parents and watching and observing people, is not to come at them and say, "Hey, this is what you've done wrong. You need to fix this." That's not how you solve a problem. You say, "Hey, let's work this out together. Let's open up our word and let's begin to pray so that you and I can begin to solve our problems." There's a proper way to handle them. I mean, if Jeff and I have a problem, Jeff's not to go and blab to Q and saying what a jerk I am. Even though Q might say, "Yeah, Jeff, I agree with you. He sure is." No, what does that do? That begins to go about the church. If Jeff and I have a problem personally, it's not for him and I to go anywhere else, bring anybody else into this, but to solve it with one another and to take care of it. My business with Jeff, Jordan's not allowed to have. It's not for me to go to Jordan and begin to badmouth his dad. Which, by the way, if I badmouth his dad, Jordan, you better hit me. Seriously. That's your father I'd be talking about negatively. Stand up for your dad. Amen? That's what I would do. Anyway, that was my soapbox for now. But there's a proper way to handle them. We shouldn't want to create problems with one another. but rather solve them. We see the law here has been thrown in here. The Gentiles are not under law. However, let's be cautious about this. This doesn't mean we should want to. This doesn't mean that we should want to excuse them, but we should try to. We should try and live by them. They are a great example for us. We have laws in our community saying no trespassing, or we have laws on our highways where it gives us a speed limit, which probably a lot of us in here broke tonight. Speed limit says 55, and I'm going to do 57. What's the law? Well, they allow us 3 miles per hour over. So then why does the speed limit say 55? It should say 57 if they're allowing some over. Am I right or am I wrong on that one? That's just my mind thinking that way. But we should try to live by them. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 25, the law was our schoolmaster. The law showed us what? That we needed Christ. Every single Jewish law has been broken. It has. Here's some of the things that I've come to a conclusion about the law, which makes me more grateful for the God that I serve. The law doesn't give us grace. It gives us judgment. You broke the law, you do the time. Christ, when we break the law and we go to Him and we throw ourselves at the mercy of His seat and we ask for forgiveness, we experience grace and we experience mercy. We go tonight before a judge and we begin to beg and plead our cause, say, I've done wrong. What's the judge do? He says, you're guilty. Go to jail. Christ shows us grace. He shows us mercy. The law, when broken, we are sentenced. But Christ has come to break our sentence. Amen? Christ came along and abolished the law. Salvation is by grace through faith. But of course, Satan wants to mislead people and he wants to cause doubts within their own minds. If I was to depend upon my works for salvation, I'm going to give you a conclusion where my life would be right now. Very simple. My destination would be hell. If I was to depend upon my works. See, circumcision was a form of works. If I was to depend upon me giving tithe to the church and faith promise to the missionaries and church attendance, all those are works here. I'd be on my way to hell because I would never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Christ came along, he abolished the law. With him saying, the law is abolished, he's saying, I give you salvation through grace, by grace, through faith. The simple truth is, only Jesus alone can save, and you find that in John chapter 14, verse number 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Buddha can't offer you that. He can't guarantee you that. Muhammad can't offer you that. He can't guarantee you that. But our God can. So as we move along here, as we read this last few verses in verse number 36 through verse number 30-41, we see the intense fellowship that Paul and Barnabas had. It was intense. It says there was sharp contention between them. They had allowed a disagreement to cause them to go their separate ways. Think about this. Lives are being changed. Towns are being turned upside down by two men being used of God preaching the word. And they allowed the devil to come in to cause dissension, which should tell us you and I always have to guard our heart at all times. We're all 1 second away or maybe one choice away from making a wrong decision in our life. They had allowed a disagreement to cause them to go their separate ways. And you see that not only in families where families will get upset with each other and they will split, and brothers and sisters and moms and dads won't talk to each other for years. They will literally hate each other. By the way, if you're a mom and you hate your kids, there's something wrong with you. By the way, kids, if you hate your mom and dad, there's something wrong with you. You shouldn't want to divide them, but you should want to bring them in into the Word of God. The very words, the very sharp words that you use, you've heard Pastor these last few weeks on YouTube, words are very important. Your own words can cause people to turn away from God's truth. What was their contention? Barnabas had wanted to take John Mark with him, but Paul was upset with Mark because he had left them on their previous journey. Paul couldn't let something go. What do you mean? Paul had some bitterness somewhere, to where he didn't want John Mark with him. This dynamic duo was separated for what reason? Because of sharp contention. This is a good reminder for us that Paul wasn't a perfect man. He was holding grudges. By the way, holding grudges don't do you any good. It doesn't. It puts you in a place that you don't want to be. When you hold a grudge against an individual, guess what? You're in bondage to that individual. You really are. I didn't understand that until years later in my life. I had my father tell me that on many different occasions. You're allowing yourself to be held captive by them. So they go their separate ways. Why? Because neither one of them wanted to solve the problem. How are Q and I to keep going on for the Lord with each other if a problem arises, we take care of it? The first thing we ought to say, hey, the devil's at work. He's at work. Let's not let Satan have victory. And let's take care of business and get right back on course. You think this doesn't happen in churches today? You're wrong, because it happens. People get upset with a preacher. They get upset with the preaching. They get upset with the piano player. They get upset with the preacher's wife. They get upset with the Sunday school teachers. Why do you get upset with the Sunday school teachers? Because their son Johnny or their daughter Sally's going out into the world and they're living a rebellious lifestyle when they only have them for 1 hour a week. And now all of a sudden it's the Sunday school teacher's fault? It's amazing what we get mad at and what we allow to cause our lives to go in separate directions. You and I need to be solving problems. This isn't the end, though. However, while Paul spending a majority of his time in prison, you can go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11, and you hear Paul saying, hey, go tell John Mark, he is beneficial. He is beneficial for me. You know why you and I need to solve our problems? Because we're beneficial to each other. You know what I miss these last couple months in our lives? Is seeing this right now. I mean, there's a lot of blue chairs in here. You all are beneficial to me, every single one of you. And we need each other. Iron sharpens iron. We're going to get attacked by the world. We're going to get attacked by Satan. And if we're not united with one another, if we're going to allow sharp contentions to come between us, then you can expect failures in our lives. But so often we forget these men that we talk about in the Bible. They're human. They make mistakes just like us. So here's the lesson in all of this. Take care of the problem at hand. Seek God for guidance and seek God for wisdom. That's what we need to do. Resolve the issue. Don't let it go on. I'm not sure of how many months or how many years Paul and Barnabas were separated because of this. But it was in the end when Paul realized, hey, John Mark, he is beneficial for me. I needed him. Resolve the issue. And as you resolve the issue, continue to serve God effectively. When you and I are at odds with one another, and when there's contentions between you and I, we're not effective in serving God the way that we should be. See, this is exactly what Satan wants. Do you realize Satan wants you to be mad at the man who's preaching God's word? Satan wants you to be mad at the pastor. Satan wants you to be mad at the evangelist that comes our way. Satan wants you to be mad at the missionary. He wants you to do these things. Why? Because he doesn't want you to serve God. And so whenever we just crack the door, he puts his foot in there. A mouse only needs a hole the size of a dime to get in and to cause havoc on that house. As soon as you get one mouse in there, it seems as if there's what? An army of mice in the house. And I don't know too many women who like having mice in their house. Resolve the issue, and as you resolve, continue to serve God effectively. And lastly, beware. As things are going good, beware. As you're being effective serving God, beware. As you're winning souls for Christ, beware. Well, what do we need to beware of? Beware of Satan, because he wants to come along the way, and regardless of who you are, he wants to bring you down. And he wants to destroy you, because he doesn't want you to be effective for the work of God. I can almost just imagine Satan behind the scene. I got Paul and Barnabas to split up. Woo! Am I successful? We don't want that in our lives. Get behind me, Satan. Because I'm going to go forward and serve God. Serve God. Let's bow ourselves in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, as we leave here tonight, I want to say thank you for allowing us to be here once again. Thank you for your people, for their faithfulness. Lord, bless them as they go away from here tonight. We ask it in your name. Amen.